Proverbs chapter 11. Let's stand together as I read, beginning in verse 1, please. I'm going to read out loud, if you would follow along there in your place. A false balance is abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. When pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom. The integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them. Riches profit not in the day of wrath. Yeah. There's a lot of big houses around the Dallas-Fort Worth area, Denton area, Frisco area, Plano area, that when the day of wrath comes, all of their money, ain't going to do them no good. But, verse 4, righteousness delivereth from death. Let's pray. Father, please bless us tonight. Help us, meet with us. Clear our thoughts and our minds to hear and understand from your Holy Spirit. Bind Satan, Lord. I pray that you would save the lost, that you would encourage the discouraged, and Lord, that you would strengthen your disciples. Please fill me with your Holy Spirit. Help me to feed your flock, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 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 Please be seated. I'm going to continue to read there in verse 5. The righteousness of the perfect, notice now, shall direct his way, but the wicked shall fall by his own wickedness. The righteousness of the upright shall deliver them, but transgressors shall be taken in their own naughtiness. When a wicked man dieth, his expectation shall perish, and the hope of unjust men perisheth. The righteous is delivered out of trouble, and the wicked cometh in his stead. I love that verse. Yeah. A hypocrite with his mouth destroyeth his neighbor, but through knowledge shall the just be delivered. When it goeth well with the righteous, the city rejoiceth. And when the wicked perish, there is shouting. Amen. By the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted, but it is overthrown by the mouth. Boy, the mouth of the wicked. I want to preach to you tonight from chapter 11. Based there on verse 11. By the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted. Righteousness exalteth the city. Righteousness exalteth the city. Righteousness, church family, is right living. Righteousness is clean living. Righteousness is lawful living according to the laws that the land before us, as long as they don't conflict with the Bible, righteousness is living according to the law. Righteousness is, easily put, simply put, the opposite of wickedness. Look in verse 5. The righteousness of the perfect shall direct his way, but the wicked shall fall by his own wickedness. There you go. You got righteousness and the opposite, wickedness. Okay? It's the opposite of evil. Look in verse 8. The righteous is delivered out of trouble, and the wicked cometh in his stead. There again, righteousness and wicked. Wickedness is evil, church. You know that. I don't need to tell you that. But opposite is righteousness. We talk about God is pure and holy and righteous. Well, the world lieth in wickedness. There's a completely, I mean, it's day and night. It is day and night. to be wicked, to be evil, to be unrighteous is to be morally, boy, I could say this 300 times and still not be enough, morally distorted.
That's right.
Morally distorted, twisted, unjust, and perverse. Righteousness, however, is just the opposite. It's just, it's moral, and it's straight living.
Amen.
Straight. Straight as an arrow. Excuse me. Quickly, it's being righteous in one's cause. 2 Corinthians 5:14 says that the love of Christ constraineth us. The cause, why does a Christian live a righteous life? Because the love of Christ compels me to do so.
Amen.
my cause. It's the reason behind what I do. It's my motivation. It's what pushes me forward. Why would I want to live a righteous and clean and morally upright and just? Why would I just mingle with the world? Because the love of Christ constraineth me.
Amen.
Oh, excuse me, man. I'm sorry. My cause is Christ. For to me to live is Christ. It's Christ. To live, to me, there's nothing. No, it's not the case for a lot of people. That's not the case for most people. But for Christians, it ought to be. To me, to live is Christ. That's the reason I do what I do. That's the reason I dress the way I dress. That's the reason I talk the way I talk. That's the reason I come to church. That's the reason I read my Bible. It is the cause. It is Christ. The love of Christ constrains me. It won't let me go. It's got a hold on me. Righteous in my cause. Righteous in my conduct. If I have a righteous cause, listen to me, then my conduct will change. You remember David and Goliath? Of course you do. His older brother, Saul the king, all of the army of Israel were scared to death of Goliath. One man. One man. David said, is there not a cause? Is there not a cause for us to fight this man?
Yeah.
Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should curse the living God?
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
Is there not a cause? Is there not a reason that we should stand up and fight and be righteous?
Yeah.
And it changed his conduct, didn't it? He got up. Now listen, don't forget this. Everybody else around him stood there or laid there.
Yeah.
Everybody else around him laid there, yeah, sucking their thumbs.
Yeah.
Because Goliath was so big,
yeah,
and the problem was so big, and there was just nothing we can do about it. Well, the cause was righteous, so the conduct was righteous.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know what? That right there, among many other things, develops the character of a righteous man.
That's right.
The character. What, you know? You say, well, preacher, you know me, I've got godly, righteous character. Listen, it ain't about what I know. Character is defined by who you are when nobody's looking.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Who you are in the dark when nobody else is around.
Come on.
Now they say your reputation is what everybody else thinks of you. Your character is who you really are.
Right.
But see, you're righteous. If your cause is righteous, your conduct will be righteous. Your character will be righteous. If you'll let it be, if you'll follow those. And this is just quickly introduction. But notice verse 8. Notice God's view of righteousness. God, verse 1. A false balance is abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is His what? Delight.
Amen. Yeah.
God delights in righteousness.
Amen.
God delights in right. You know, when David got up and slew that foul-mouthed Philistine, God was up in heaven and said, yeah, that's right, David. Go get him, boy. God was honored. God was pleased. God was glorified by righteousness. God delights in righteousness. Oh. Verse 18. The wicked worketh a deceitful work, but to him that soweth righteousness shall be a what? A sure reward. God rewards righteousness.
Amen.
I don't know about you, but I like rewards.
Amen.
Now, I think God's going to reward righteousness in heaven at the judgment seat of Christ. But can I tell you something? God doesn't have to wait till then to reward righteousness.
Right.
Yeah, amen.
Now, there's many rewards for righteousness right here on this earth. So, no, let me say this quickly. True righteousness, church, listen to me.
Yeah.
True righteousness, before I go any further, begins and is obtained only by salvation.
Amen.
That's right. Amen.
Look in verse 4. Riches profit not in the day of wrath. Anything, listen, let me stop right there. Anything that you think is going to profit you in the day of wrath other than righteousness, you're a fool.
Amen.
Why does God use riches? Because the love of money is the root of all evil. Oh, and people think, well, if I could just have... God says all the riches in all the world. In other words, everything that this world could possibly offer you will do you no good when the judgment of God comes down.
Right.
No good at all. You will be, it will all perish.
Right. Come on.
But righteousness, what does it say? Delivereth from... death. Isn't that what it says? Y'all with me?
Amen.
Righteousness. That's salvation, church. There's only one way to be delivered from the judgment of God, the death, that the wages of sin is
death.
But the gift of God, the grace of God, the righteousness of God is eternal life through righteousness, through Jesus Christ our Lord. See, the only righteousness, the only real righteousness in this world is the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ. Now listen, you can do right things.
That's right.
You can do right things, but that does not make you righteous.
That's right.
Not in God's eyes.
That's right.
You know, there are people today, listen now, there are men and even women on death row right now in state penitentiaries. And I guarantee you that once or twice in their life, they did something good.
Yeah.
I guarantee you, when they were growing up, you know, maybe they kissed their mommy on the cheek, or maybe they helped, you know, somebody cross the street, or maybe they went to school and behaved.
Amen.
But what I'm saying to you is, listen, all of those right things that you do will not make you righteous. They do not change your heart.
That's right.
Yeah. The right things that we do not change our heart. Right. True righteousness, Bible righteousness, the only righteousness that saves you from death and destruction is righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. That's right.
Now, so don't fool yourself. I'm not talking about people who are good people. I'm talking about righteousness that delights God. Righteousness that God rewards is only found through salvation. That's only found in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Jesus Christ.
Amen.
This is what we call imputed righteousness. Now, I know that's a big Bible word, but it just simply means it's placed on your account. Amen. It's charged to your account. For example, let me give you a quick example. I don't have any money in my bank account. Now, you have to guess whether or not I'm just using it as an example or whether that's true. But I don't have any money in my bank account, but someone made a deposit in my account. Now, it wasn't my money, but it is now.
Amen.
Okay? When it went into my deposit, deposit went into my bank account, it wasn't my money, but it is now.
Amen.
Okay, it just went, it came from someone else's account onto my account. Now, I didn't earn it. It was given to me. It was a gift because of someone else imputed righteousness. Now, quickly, we're going to use the Bible some here. Romans chapter 4. Y'all stay with me now. Romans chapter 4, verse 5. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Verse 6. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. Listen to me. We have to understand tonight, if we're going to be gospel witnesses, if we're going to carry the truth to this old dying world, and I promise you, 9 out of 10 people out there think that they're working their way to heaven.
Yeah, that's right.
That is not salvation. It has to be imputed righteousness, according to this verse, without works. Your works will never earn this righteousness.
Right.
There's three kinds of imputation. Look in Romans 5, verse 12, right there where you're at. Romans 5:12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Number one kind of imputation is Adam's sin was imputed unto all mankind. When Adam sinned, that sin nature went into every one of our hearts.
That's right. Yep.
Boom. There it is. Even before you were born, you were conceived in sin.
Right.
Yeah.
You were conceived in iniquity. So at Adam's sin, imputed death came to everybody.
Yeah.
Death.
That's right.
Death.
Amen.
Why? Because we're sinners.
Right.
So it was imputed to all man by one man, Adam. Then all of mankind's sin was imputed unto Jesus on the cross.
Amen.
Look in 1 Peter chapter 2 quickly. 1 Peter chapter 2. This is just a little bit of a Bible study. I'll get to the message here in a minute. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 24. Who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree. See, He bare our sins in His own body. Our sins were imputed unto Jesus on the cross, on the tree, the cross, that we being dead to sins should live unto, what's that next word?
Righteousness.
Righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. So Adam's sin was imputed to all the world. Every child that is ever born in this world has Adam's sin imputed unto him.
That's right. Amen. Right. Amen.
And then, when Christ died on the cross, however, every human being ever born was or will be born, their sin was imputed unto Jesus on the cross. Paid for. Judged. Already paid for. And then, Romans 3. Go back over there quickly. Romans 3:22. The righteousness of God. Let's read the Romans. This is the best part. Now, stop before I go any further. Adam's sin imputed to me because of, well, because of my father, the seed of sin in man. Then all of my sin, however, was imputed to Jesus on the cross. That doesn't save anybody yet.
Yeah.
Okay? Because that righteousness of God has to then be individually, each individual person has to accept Christ, and then the righteousness of God is imputed unto that one person.
Yep. Amen.
With the heart man believeth unto
righteousness.
Look in Romans 3:22. You're not saved just because Jesus died for you. Romans 3:22. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. You have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ first.
Yes.
Then that righteousness is imputed unto you. For example, the Good Samaritan.
Yeah.
The Good Samaritan said, whatever you spend after I leave, I will repay thee when I return. In other words, put it on my account.
Amen.
Amen. That's when you got saved, Jesus said, okay, every sin that you commit from the time you get saved to the time you get to heaven, it's on my account.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Did you hear what I just said?
Yeah.
It's on His account. It's on Amen. Jesus' account. It's already covered.
Amen. Amen.
I'm talking about the only reason you're going to heaven tonight, church, is because every sin you've ever committed has been imputed unto Christ and the righteousness of God imputed unto your wicked heart. You ought to be excited about that.
Amen.
Don't make me do flips up here.
Come on, preach.
Jesus is the only way anybody can get into heaven, and it has to be the righteousness of God imputed unto sinners like you and me, all because of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. Come on.
Only to them that believe. Only to them that believe. The Good Samaritan said, it's all on my account. It's all on my account.
Yeah,
this righteousness of God you receive when accepting Christ as Savior is the only way you can live a truly righteous life.
That's right. Yep.
If I take you over to Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6, it says, all of my righteousness are filthy rags.
Yep. That's right.
So all the good works you do outside of Jesus Christ are filthy rags in God's eyes because you are an unsaved, hell-bound sinner.
Yep. That's right.
So any good, I tell people, on my best day, I'm bound for hell.
Yep.
On my best day, I was bound for hell.
Amen.
No opportunity, no hope of ever seeing heaven, except through the righteousness of God imputed unto me through Jesus Christ, believing by faith on Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
And then, from that point on, I can live a righteous life.
Yep.
I can live a righteous life. Sadly, however, saved people can also still live an unrighteous life. They give in to the flesh.
Right. Come on.
They give in to temptations.
Yep.
They give in to the world. They don't lose their salvation, but they lose the blessings. They lose the benefits of living a righteous life.
Amen.
God blesses, God exalts righteousness, righteous living.
Amen.
Good works that we do as a result of our imputed righteousness through Jesus Christ. Now go back to Proverbs chapter 11, quickly. Look in verse 3. The integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them. What are the blessings of living a righteous life? Well, number one is righteous direction.
Amen.
Direction. Look in verse 5. The righteousness of the perfect shall direct his way, but the wicked shall fall by his own wickedness. After righteousness is imputed to us at salvation, it's forever then imparted to us through the Holy Spirit.
Amen. That's right.
Okay? That righteousness is designed, listen to me, to become practical righteousness in our everyday living. Righteousness put into practice in our daily life. The righteousness of God put into practice in this world.
Yep.
Jesus, for example.
Amen.
Conforming, but as you and me will never be Christ, but we should be Christ-like.
Yes.
We should be always being more and more conformed to the image of Christ.
Amen.
That they were first called Christians at Antioch. Antioch is in Syria, church. Antioch was in the middle of Syria.
Yeah.
Yep.
How are they called Christians there? Because they displayed the righteousness of God in their everyday lives.
Amen.
Righteousness directs us. It directs us. I'm telling you one thing. You and me need some holy steering wheels.
Amen.
Righteous steering wheels. When you get in your car, your steering wheel directs you. As long as everything works like it's supposed to.
Yeah.
Now, if you turn to the right when you're supposed to turn to the left, you're in trouble.
That's right.
Matt Brittany? If you turn to the left when you're supposed to turn to the right, you're in trouble.
Amen.
You're at least, I should say, at best, you're going in the wrong direction.
Yeah.
You're not going to get where you wanted to get.
Yep.
And if there happens to be a tree there, or a telephone pole, or a drainage ditch, you name it, another car, you're in trouble.
Amen.
We need some Holy Spirit steering wheels.
Amen.
And we have the Holy Spirit, but here's the problem. Who's steering?
Yes, come on, brother.
Come on.
Yeah.
Who's steering your everyday living? Your daily activity? Who's steering your life?
Come on.
Who's steering? Who's driving?
Yeah.
See, righteous living gives us righteous direction.
Amen.
We end up where we want to be, according to where God wants us to be, I should say. We end up there without wrecking our lives.
Amen. Amen.
Do you see what I'm talking about?
Amen.
What is this? Here's what. Let's boil it down to this: making daily decisions.
Yep.
Decisions.
Yeah.
Look in verse 3. The integrity of the upright shall guide them. Or you could say steer them.
Yeah.
The integrity. By the way, integrity, church, means honesty.
Right.
Honesty. And then upright means to be in agreement with that which is right. So the honesty of the person who agrees with what's right, look in verse 20. They that are of a froward heart are abomination to the Lord, but such as are upright in their way are His delight. So the froward, the twisted and distorted and crooked and perverse, they're an abomination to the Lord. They're going to end up in a wreck.
That's right.
But the righteousness of God gives us righteous direction. And when we make decisions based on righteousness and integrity, that will give us direction in life.
That's right.
Every decision you make is pointing you in a direction.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yep.
The smallest little decision, well, it's just a little shift, but in a day or two or a week or a month, you're going to be way off course.
Yeah, that's right.
Every little decision, like just missing one church service.
Come on, breathe. Come on.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Come on.
Just one church service?
Preach.
Come on.
That's like saying, well, I just missed one kiss from God. I just missed one touch from God.
Amen.
Yeah.
I just missed God speaking to me once. What are you talking about?
Yeah, come on.
Just one little service. After all, I mean, you know, I
come on, preach.
I got every excuse in the book.
Preach.
Yes, sir.
With that one shift, you know what? You're off course.
Yep.
Amen.
Something in that church service was meant for you because you were part of that church.
Amen. Yeah, that's right. Amen. Amen.
Absolutely.
Amen.
But you start making decisions based on frowardness, crookedness, not righteousness. You start shifting. You start letting something else or somebody else steer you. Not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit steers you to His house.
Amen.
Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Saturday morning, every time these doors, the Holy Spirit steers you here. If you can't go soul winning and knocking on doors, you can at least be steered to be praying while we are.
Yeah, amen.
The Holy Spirit steers you to His house every time these doors are open. And if you're not here, somebody else is steering.
Yeah, amen. Come on, preach. Preach.
Somebody else is steering.
Yep.
And you justify, well, it's just one little shift. It's just, it's one service. I'll go next time.
Yeah.
Come on.
Amen.
Thank God for His grace.
Yes, sir.
But you know, how many times do you have to run into a wall?
Yeah.
And then get back on course. Run into a wall, get back on course. Run into a wall, get back. I mean, all your life. Wall, oh grace. Wall, oh grace. You know, it would be a lot less complicated if you just stay on course.
Yeah, amen. Come on, amen, amen, amen.
It's a lot less. Just stay on course.
Yep,
amen.
Come on.
Amen.
Come on.
Let the Holy Spirit steer.
Amen.
Righteous direction is a good thing.
Amen.
Look in Psalm 43 quickly. I'm hurrying, but I don't want to miss it. Psalm 43, verse 3. We read this Sunday morning. Oh, send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto what? Thy holy hill and to thy tabernacles. Listen to me. I'm simply saying to you, when you aren't where you're supposed to be, ask yourself this. Is God's light and God's truth, did they lead me here?
Yeah, come on, preach.
A holy steering wheel, a righteous life, will give you righteous direction,
sure.
Where God's light and God's truth will be leading.
Yes,
yeah, amen.
And God will send those out to lead you to His holy hill, to His house, to His holiness, to His righteousness. Can you honestly, every decision you make, why don't you just mark this down somewhere in the back of your mind, on your Bible somewhere by that verse. Every decision I make, can I honestly say that this is God's light and God's truth leading me here?
Amen.
Well,
And just write that down. Put that somewhere in your memory and say, listen, okay, every decision I make, Psalm 43:3, is this really God's light and God's truth leading me here to make this decision?
Amen.
That would be a good place to start.
Amen. Amen. That's right.
Righteous direction keeps you from wrecking your life. Yep. Number two, it picks up, go back to Proverbs 11. Not just blessings of righteous direction, but also the blessings of righteous protection.
Amen.
As God guides me, as God directs me, my righteousness through the Holy Spirit is giving me direction, He's also going to give me protection.
Amen.
Look in verse 4 again. Riches profit not in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivereth. Boy, you don't get much more protection than delivering from death.
Amen.
Amen. It's not just hell, though, folks. It's everything precious in life that God, that Satan wants to destroy.
Right.
Look in verse 6. The righteousness of the upright shall deliver them, but transgressors shall be taken in their own naughtiness. Verse 8. The righteous is delivered out of trouble. That's protection. Righteous direction, number two, righteous protection. Making right decisions protects you from painful consequences.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Amen. Amen, sir.
It keeps you safe. God's giving us a steering wheel to steer us away from wrecks. Look in verse 6. This is interesting. The righteousness of the upright shall deliver them, but transgressors shall be taken in their own naughtiness. I don't want you to remember me one day when you think back on Brother Fogg. He was a victim of his own naughtiness. That is absolutely disgraceful.
Yeah, that's right.
And that's embarrassing. That's humiliating. I don't want to be a victim of my own naughtiness. In other words, righteous living protects me from myself.
Yeah.
Amen.
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 You know who your biggest enemy is, Jamaria? Tori. No, I'm just kidding. Yourself.
Amen.
It ain't your mama, it ain't your dad, it ain't your preacher, it ain't your cousin, it ain't your uncle, it ain't you, your dog. It's you.
Amen. Right.
It's you.
Yep.
My biggest enemy. It's me.
Yep.
Yeah.
Amen.
Righteousness. I don't feel like doing that. I don't feel okay. That's you're just about to wreck yourself.
Yep. Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
You just do right because it's right.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
And you are saving yourself from you.
Amen. Amen.
I am the biggest fool in this room.
Amen.
Go ahead. Don't look at me like that. You're the biggest fool in your room.
Amen.
Amen, bro.
But listen, I'm serious about this. Listen to this verse. Don't turn there. 1 Timothy 6:10 says, "The love of money is the root of all evil, which while some covet after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows."
Yep.
Pierced themselves through. Now, hold your place here. Go back to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. Everybody still with me? All right. Proverbs chapter 1. Look in verse 30. "They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof." They just didn't want to listen. "Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices.
Right.
For the turning away of the simple shall slay them."
Yep.
Not anybody else. Them. "And the prosperity of fools shall destroy them."
Yeah.
Notice, "But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell" what?
Safely.
"And shall be quiet from fear of evil." Look in Proverbs chapter 2, verse 21. "The upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it. But the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressors shall be rooted out of it." Wow.
Yep, that's right.
Look at Proverbs 5, verse 22. "His own iniquities shall take the wicked himself." Now, I don't know if you've ever done any prison ministries or, God forbid, been in prison, but I haven't met many of them that said, my own iniquities put me here.
Right.
What happened? My own iniquities put me here.
Yeah.
No, it's always... But it's that way with kids too.
Yeah, right.
It's that way with you too.
Yep.
Adam and Eve said, well, Adam said, that woman thou gavest me. He was real close to being right. But it was, he had his own choice.
That's right, he did.
He blamed the serpent. The serpent blamed, everybody was pointing fingers, why? But no, God says the wickedness, that it will take you, your own wickedness.
Yeah.
It's the reason you're destroyed.
Yeah.
Your wickedness.
Yeah, right.
Oh, but my mom, oh, but my dad, oh, but this, that, and the other. Oh, they had something to do with it, I guarantee you. But I want you to notice, I didn't finish reading the verse yet. His own iniquity shall take the wicked himself. But notice, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sins. His sins. I mean, it's like taking a rope and tying yourself up.
Yeah.
Huh. Man, you know, if you did that, you would feel like an idiot.
Yeah.
And everybody that saw you would say, what are you, an idiot? But yet, sin does that.
Yep.
Right.
Every second.
Sure.
Yep. Amen. Yes, sir.
What's wrong with you? Well, I decided I'd pierce myself through with sorrows. Well, my own iniquity got me here. Well, I tied myself up here, and now I can't get loose. But see, we don't ever say that.
Yeah.
That's what God's waiting for us to say. Humble ourselves and admit, hey, you know what? Your own sins did this to you.
Yep.
Righteousness protects us.
Yeah.
Doing what's right protects us as it directs us. It protects us from looking like an absolute idiot.
That's right. Yeah, amen.
What are you doing? I'm just tying myself up.
Yeah.
What are you doing? I'm just stabbing myself.
Yeah, come on.
Look in Proverbs 26 quickly. I'm hurrying, but you know what I mean. Proverbs 26, verse 27. Whoso diggeth a pit shall fall therein. And he that rolleth a stone, it will return upon him. I'm going to dig a hole, and I'm going to bury myself. Oh, you, that's bright. Oh, man. Let's call you Einstein. But we do it all the time.
Yeah, that's right.
Come on now, don't get quiet. This is going to help us if we'll just learn that righteousness directs us so that righteousness can protect us.
Amen.
Go back to Proverbs 11, verse 21. This is interesting as well. Though hand join in hand, the wicked shall not be unpunished, but the seed of the righteous shall be. Oh, listen, this is good. I don't know if you, but listen, the seed means your children.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't have any children, preacher. Well, you will one day, God willing.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
So you do right today so that your children will be protected when they do come along.
Amen. Amen.
I mean, God blesses righteousness.
Amen.
Righteousness directs us, then righteousness protects us. But another blessing in verse 23 of chapter 11, the desire of the righteous is only good. But the expectation of the wicked is wrath. So we also have, God bless us with righteous ambition, righteous desires.
Right.
When I'm living righteously, the more righteously I live, and I see how righteousness directs me in the right direction, then I see how it protects me. You know what happens? Is my desires begin to change.
Amen. Uh-huh.
I begin to desire righteousness.
Yeah.
Why? Well, because I can see how much better it is this way.
Yeah, amen.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, I can say, hey, you know what? I just missed that wreck. I just missed that chaotic confusion. I just missed all that drama. I just missed all that pain.
Yeah.
And God directed me right through this thing. God protected me. You know what I'm going to do next time? I'm going to walk righteousness.
Yeah,
my ambitions are no longer going to be self-serving.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're going to be righteous. Yeah. They're going to be God-serving.
Yeah.
See, God wants, can I just say, God would love to get His people to this place where they desire righteousness.
Yeah.
Where instead of the preacher having to preach his head off for somebody to want to do right, they ought in their own heart, they say, you know what? I want to do right.
Yeah. Amen.
When you get to that place, you're growing.
Amen.
You're growing. When you get to that place, you're coming up out of the muck and the mire, amen? Out of the old horrible pit. Out of that unrighteousness where you were before. We're in Proverbs chapter 11. Righteous ambition. Why? Why does a Christian live such a different life? Why is a real Christian, why are they so different?
Yeah.
This is it right here.
Amen.
Because as a baby Christian, they're just kind of following, okay, the preacher and the Bible, the Holy Spirit, okay, I'm gonna choose to do this. I don't know that I want to do this, but I'm gonna take this direction, step this direction. And then they're gonna see, wow, look what God did.
Yeah, come on. Amen.
And then they're going to say, okay, well, all right, well, my Sunday school teacher said that I should do this because the Bible says it. Okay, so I'm going to take this step in there. Wow, look at the protection.
Yeah, come on.
And then before you know it, you know what? I want to do this.
Yeah, come on.
I want to do this. I desire to live for Christ.
Amen.
I desire to be righteous.
Amen.
That's my ambition, to be more like Christ.
Amen.
And when you get to that point, dear God, come shouting hallelujah because you're growing.
Amen.
But listen to me. For one thing, it's not automatic. And for another thing, you're going to have to fight to keep it that way.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Amen.
Because your flesh is fighting you the whole time.
Yes, yep. Sir.
Amen.
Amen.
Satan is fighting you the whole time. But God's blessing your righteous living. God's protecting and He's giving you direction. And then He's changing even your desires become more righteous. You don't want to do the things you used to do. You don't want to go to the places you used to go. You don't want to wear the clothes you used to wear. You don't want to listen to that music you used to listen to. You don't want to hang with those friends you used to run with. You don't want to sin against God. You don't want to anymore.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
That's right.
That's where God wants us to live.
Amen. Amen. That's right. Preach.
Righteous ambitions. What do you mean, right? What do you say? You know, the flesh says, you're number one. Do what you want. Do what feels good.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit says, God's number one. Do what He wants. Do what glorifies Him. And when you get right with God and you get this thing of righteousness down in your heart, your ambitions are going to be to glorify God.
Yeah, that's right. Amen.
You know what I'm talking about? I'm talking about your H-E-A-R-T is going to be different.
Yep,
changed. Converted.
Amen. That's right.
Hey man, why in the world would you get up early before the break of day and read your Bible? Because I want to!
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Preacher said, I got to do it. You ain't there yet.
Yep.
But you do it anyway.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen.
Why in the world would you go to church all the time? I mean, come on, isn't once a month enough? No, I go because I want to!
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
I mean, why in the world would you put money in that offering plate? Because I want to.
Amen.
Because it glorifies God. Because it grows the church. Because it grows my faith. Because it blesses my family. I want to. Why in the world would you go tell people about Jesus? Why in the world would you go knock on people's doors? My soul, you're knocking on a stranger's door. What's wrong with you? Nothing's wrong with me. I want to do it.
Amen.
That's right.
That's where God wants you to be.
Yep. Amen.
A pack of wild horses couldn't hold you back. It's time for church. Matter of fact, I think I'll go early.
Amen.
Why? Because I want to.
Amen.
Hello.
Come on. Preach.
Why in the world would you want to always tell the truth? Why would you want to always be honest? Somebody might not like you. Righteousness delights him.
Yep, that's right. Come on.
I want to delight him. I'm having a good time. Y'all okay?
Amen.
Psalm 73. Look over there quickly. Psalm 73. Psalm 73, verse 23. Righteous ambitions. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast hold me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. And that blessing, God's going to guide me all the way through this life, and then I get to go to heaven. Wow. Amen.
Amen.
Verse 25. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I what? Desire. Oh God, let that be my life verse. There is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. If there is anything in this world that I desire, it's that God be number one, that my life honor and glorify Him. There is nothing else in this world that can even compare to that ambition. I'm telling you what, that stirs my heart. That makes me want to get on this altar and say, God, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Because that's not been my desire like it should be.
Yep. That's right.
Look over in Psalm 37, verse 4. This is the one that people use all the time to go away from God. But I want you to understand it's not what it says. Psalm 37, verse 4. Delight thyself also in the Lord. Okay? You desire Him more than anything else. And then He says, He'll give thee the desires of thine heart.
Yeah.
Does that mean He's going to give me everything I want? No, listen to me. He's going to change your desires.
That's right.
Yep.
Come on.
That's right. Amen. Amen.
Well, that means if I go to church for a while, God's going to give me everything I want. That's carnal.
Yeah.
God will give everything you need.
Right.
He'll give you plenty more than you ever could dream of.
Sure.
But He's going to change that heart.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
To where my desires are no longer what they used to be.
Yep. That's right.
Amen.
He gives me new desires.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Say, why in the world, preacher, do you get so... Because everything is different now. It's different now. It's different now.
Amen. Amen.
I want Jesus. I want righteousness. I want to be right with God. I want to serve God. I want to be right. I want to win souls. I want
Amen.
To be in church.
Amen.
I want to preach the gospel. I want to love my wife. I want to honor God. I want to love my children. I want to.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen. That's right.
This is not anything new, but people always do what they want to do.
Yep. That's right. Yep.
You will do what you want to do.
That's right.
Amen.
You will do.
Yep.
What you want to do.
That's right.
Amen.
So what you need is a new want to.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
A new want to.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. I'm having a good time. Amen. Righteous ambition. Go back to Proverbs 11. I'm almost done. Maybe. I'm almost done with this point anyway. No, I'm just kidding. I only have a few hours left. Don't worry. Proverbs 11. I talked about righteous direction, a blessing from God, living righteously. God gives us righteous direction. Living righteously, we have righteous protection. Living righteously, God begins to give us righteous ambitions. And living righteously, now this is, I like this, I think, more than all of them, at least a whole lot anyway. Righteous expectation.
Amen.
Look in verse 28 of the Proverbs 11. He that trusteth in his riches shall fall.
That's right.
But the righteous shall flourish as a branch.
Amen. Amen.
Now, look up here for a minute. When you and I live righteous lives, we should expect fruit.
Amen. Yep.
Yeah.
Amen. That's right. Amen. Amen.
We should expect fruit in our lives.
Yeah.
A flourishing branch is a branch that's bearing fruit.
Yep. Amen. Amen.
You can just mark it down, dearly beloved, if you'll listen to what God's saying to you tonight, and you'll live righteously, and you'll have this direction and protection, ambitions. You can just go ahead and expect to flourish with fruit in your life.
That's right. Amen. Amen.
I'm talking about souls.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Souls. Fruit. Look in verse 30, the same chapter. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. And he that winneth souls is wise.
Amen, that's right. Amen.
A righteous man, a righteous woman is a man, is a woman who is going to be a soul winner. And you can go ahead and expect fruit.
Amen. Amen.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
You can expect it. I mean, God says you shall flourish as a branch. A branch doesn't do but one thing, bear fruit.
Yep, that's right.
A flourishing life, by the way, according to verse 28, is not a bunch of money.
Amen.
He that trusteth in his riches shall what? Fall. Oh my soul, it's completely opposite. However, the souls that you bring to Christ.
Come on. Amen. Amen. Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
You stand in the Sunday school class.
Yeah.
You stand in the junior church. You stand behind the pulpit. You stand at a door somewhere and you hand out gospel tracts.
Amen. Amen.
Why are you doing that? Because I want to.
Amen.
Because I want to.
Amen.
Tori and Jamari come on the van to church this evening. They said, are you going to let us be bus workers or not?
Amen. Amen.
They want to.
Amen. Come on,
man. Dear God. I mean, you know what? Satan's getting a lot of teenagers, but thank God he ain't got them all.
Amen. That's right.
Amen. That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
You stand at the door and you hand out a gospel tract and you say, you know what, we want to invite you to church. Before I leave, I want to ask you a quick question.
Yeah, come on.
If you died tonight,
come on.
Are you 100%, I mean, without a shadow of a doubt, sure that you'd be in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ?
Amen, brother.
Yeah. And they say, no, I'm not sure.
Yeah, of
course. And you take out your King James, Old Bible, New Testament, or you use the tract. But you open up the Word of God to them.
Yeah, come on.
Why?
Because
I want to.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
Because it changed my life.
Yes.
Amen. 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 Hey.
You know, the Bible says you can know for sure. You can know for sure. God says you can know. God says, these things are written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know you can personally know before you die where you're going to go.
Yes. Yeah, amen.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
And they stand there and I tell them, but the reason people don't go to heaven automatically is because they're sinners.
That's right.
All have sinned. There's none righteous.
Yep.
And I show them, you know, the wages of sin is death.
Yeah.
And death and hell are cast into the lake of fire. Based on what I've told you from the Bible, if you died right now, where would you go? And the old sinner under conviction of the Holy Ghost says, I'd have to go to hell.
Yeah, come on.
And I say, listen to me. Now I'm going to tell you the good news.
Amen.
You don't have to go to hell.
Amen.
Matter of fact, I'm here so you won't go to hell.
Amen.
Jesus died so you don't go to hell.
Amen. That's right.
The gift of God is eternal life.
Amen.
Through Jesus Christ, because of Jesus Christ, by Jesus Christ, only in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
God commendeth His love toward us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. And the old sinner's just starting to get a little bit happier now.
Yeah.
Amen. And you say about Romans chapter 10, you say, you know what? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
God wants to save you. You don't have to go to hell. You don't have to perish in eternity in the lake of fire. You can go to heaven. Would you like to be saved today? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Glory to God.
Amen.
First out of branch. Amen.
Amen.
Fruit for God's glory.
Amen.
Why? Because I was righteous.
Yeah.
Because God's righteous.
Amen. Come on. Yeah. Amen. Amen.
Because I want to.
Amen.
By the way, I'm safe out there. I'm safe. God directed me to go win souls. God protected me while I was doing it. God gave me an ambition to do it. And then God gave me fruit.
Amen.
Because of it.
Amen.
All because of God's righteousness. Imputed and then imparted through the Holy Spirit. Steering me.
Amen.
Down life's course.
That's right.
Whew, man, a lie. I tell you what. I don't serve God because I have to.
Yeah. Right. Amen.
Amen.
I serve God because I get to.
Yes.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Yeah.
Amen.
Verse 18 says, the wicked worketh a deceitful work. You don't know what they're doing behind those doors.
Yeah.
But to him that soweth righteousness. Folks, you don't sow more righteousness than when you sow the Bible.
Amen.
You sow the seed of the God's gospel. It says here, to him that soweth righteousness shall be a sure.
Yeah.
Confident, sure, promise from God. What? Reward.
Amen.
That's fruit.
Amen.
Fruit.
Yeah.
Look over in Genesis chapter 7. I'm done. I promise. This is the last scripture. Genesis chapter 7. The Lord said, verse 1. The Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark. For thee have I seen what? Before me in this generation. Folks, we don't live in a less wicked generation than Noah did.
Yeah.
God destroyed the whole world except for 8 people.
Yeah.
Because they were so wicked. We don't live in a less wicked generation or a more wicked generation.
Yeah.
But Noah lived righteously before God.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Amen.
In the midst of that generation.
Sure.
Amen.
I can't, preacher. You won't.
Yep.
That's right.
Come on.
Because if God says to do it, you can.
That's right.
Yep. Amen. Amen.
You just don't want to.
Yep. Come on.
Noah lived in the most wicked generation that we've ever known.
Yeah.
But God saw his righteousness. Therefore, listen, God saved him and his family.
Yeah.
And now, don't miss this. Every single person sitting here that's saved tonight, every person that you've knocked on their door and led them to Christ in this city, every missionary around these walls, everywhere they're preaching the gospel tonight, souls are coming to altars and getting saved. Every single one of those souls is fruit to Noah's account.
That's right. Yep, that's right. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Do you hear what I said?
Yeah.
Because righteousness directed him to live right before God. Righteousness protected him in the midst of the flood.
Yeah.
Righteousness gave him the ambition to finish that ark to the saving of his family.
Yeah, amen.
Are you with me? And now, still today.
Amen.
Still today, people getting saved all around this world.
Amen.
Righteousness, because Noah's life is still flourishing as a branch.
Amen.
Amen.
I don't know about you, but what else in this world are you going to live for?
Yeah.
Amen. Amen.
I mean, what in the world do you need God to tell you from that? I mean, I think that's enough for me.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, I just don't feel like it.
Come on.
I can't help you then.
Yeah.
But God has made it very plain to you and to me. Righteousness exalteth.
Amen. Amen.
A city, a state, a country, a nation, a world, a life.
Yeah. Amen.
Righteousness.
Right. Come on. Amen.
Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Righteousness. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we've been in your presence tonight. We've heard from heaven tonight.